Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord we're able to be together again as we share the word of the Lord. And I began a message I entitled, Who Sits in the Temple? And I began by sharing a passage of scripture found in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 3 and 4. And this is regarding the Antichrist. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Have you not noticed that, beloved? Amen. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, shewing himself that he is God. It's clearly taught, beloved, in the Word of God that the Antichrist is not only to deny God, but to represent himself as God and to enthrone himself in the temple. In other words, he will demand and will require the worship of subjects. He will demand the whole world to worship him. That is his plan. That was Satan's plan in the beginning, which failed in the beginning and will fail now, as we know from scripture. But having said that, I want to explore another truth or another perspective on this passage, even though it definitely refers to the person of that individual who will be called the Antichrist. We are, it does not the word say, individually as well as collectively the temple of the living God. The analogy of the body of Christ is revealed first in the individual. When a person is born again or saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the spirit of that person, and they are born again. They are raised from death to life. They become a new creature in Christ. And so all of us, if we've accepted Jesus, are separate temples unto the Lord. But we are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Separate and distinct, we're called lively stones, but together we are one, the body of Christ. And that is why the Bible calls for unity and declares we are to live in unity so that there will be no divisions or strife in the body of believers. United in Him as one, we are the temple of the living God, the body of Christ. And as I said, the older I get, the complexities of Scripture can be reduced in such a simple form that even a child can understand them. And while the Lord holds the mysteries and complexities of the universe and he's the fount of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, yet the way of the Lord is simple, and sometimes it's man that makes it complex and confusing. And so we are lively stones. We're the body of Christ, but you know who the head is? The head is Jesus Christ. In other words, just like our natural body responds to the nervous system, which is centered in the brain, all the nerve impulses, all the intricate and marvelous ways the body functions together, the brain is the one that signals whether there's movement, whether there's speech, the kinds of things that we just take for granted. And so just like the natural body responds to the instructions that the brain gives it, so the body of Christ needs to respond in health to the mind of Christ, because Jesus is the head. And so This analogy, if you will, this method begun in the individual is carried out in principle and covers the whole blood-washed church. And, you know, it's like a small baby, a small child. The hands, the eyes, the feet are all there, but that child, that baby, grows not only in stature, isn't that true, but in coordination, in cooperation into a larger, mature body. In other words, it is a process, but the child learns to speak, learns to crawl, learns to stand, learns to walk. It's a process and acquires responsibility as it grows until that child becomes a mature individual. That's the point of parents, to help raise that child while they're in a vulnerable and delicate state. So the scripture tells you and me, beloved, that we are the temple of the living God, which temple ye are. And in the text that I read to you earlier, Thessalonians, we see a picture not only of a world condition, but also the picture of an individual man. It is the picture of an individual who has given himself over to Satan. And it's an account of a man who's refused the ways of God, refused to walk in the Spirit of God, and has chosen the things of Lucifer and the dark side. And so basically, while we think back to that first and greatest commandment, that you shall love the Lord God your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, spirit, all that we are, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And I'm always fond not to leave it there, but Jesus gave a new commandment, speaking to his disciples. And if we've accepted Jesus, he's calling us to be his disciple, that we're to love one another as he has loved us. That's much more embracing, much more comprehensive, because sometimes, to be honest, some people don't like themselves very well. And if that's the case, then they will tend to treat others as they feel about themselves. But God is a God of love, and the more we discover his matchless beauty, his ways, his intention for mankind, we see how perfect his love is for us, a love that we cannot attain to, that we cannot comprehend. We only have limited, small visions in terms of even the best relationships here on earth. And so what God does when he saves a person is to bring us to a place that we will be like his son, Jesus. And there's an enemy in that. And Paul described it very vividly. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He saw a rule working in his members. And in spite of the idols that we can have, we don't bow down to images and statues and things like that today, but we have other idols. It could be fame, it could be fortune, it could be money, it could be sports, addictions, and whatever false god there can be in our lives. We tend not to think in such stark terms, but basically the real idol is that of self. And this is a process that Paul had to deal with, that we all have to deal with, and it's something that I'm sensing the Spirit of God is dealing very profoundly with his people. He's dealing with me. He's dealing with you. Those who are listening, I think you sense that desire of the Holy Spirit, where you've been kind of maybe dragging your feet. There's an urgency, there's a sense to get on with God's program, to finally say yes, to surrender to him. And that's what basically it is. It's just a surrender of self and a consecration, dedication of your whole person, your whole being, your body as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. We have to submit to the rule and reign of Christ. And the Bible talks about God's holy temple, which ye are. Self, basically, as an antichrist spirit, if you will, has set himself up. And unfortunately, I find it very frightening as I read the Word of God. There are those that Peter talks about, Paul, Jude, who are as spots on our feasts, our love feasts. There are those who have known the way of salvation and they've chosen to renounce it. I mean, Jude talks in appalling terms about those who have fallen away and who no longer desire to walk in submission to the rule of God. There's spots on our feet. They're wolves in the midst of the sheep. And this type of individual wields the scepter of criticism and usurps the power of judgment as if he or she were king. The old carnal nature, beloved, which is always contrary to the Lord, what takes on the activities and behavior and attitudes of the evil one, begins to accuse the brethren, and uncalled for judgments leave their lips. There's nothing, as we look at this, it's more nothing more or less than the Antichrist spirit setting that spirit up, if you will, in their temple, which should be the habitation of God. And anything, beloved, that is opposing Jesus Christ is Antichrist. John says that, varying places in the Word of God. Now, obviously, I'm not saying this person is the Antichrist himself, who has taken charge of control of the body and has inhabited the temple, but I'm saying that any spirit other than the Spirit of God, which is allowed to take sovereignty within your life or mine, is basically the spirit of Antichrist against what the Lord commands. Now, if we're saved, the Spirit of God dwells within our spirit, but there is constant warfare. The enemy seeks to do all he can, first of all, to get you to turn your back on God. And if he fails in that, then he does those things which enable you to just constantly dwell in addictions and habits and lifestyles and behaviors that are in opposition to the Word of God. And God is dealing with those individuals who have not been able to consecrate and surrender themselves to him. And I just feel the burden of the Holy Spirit that we would hold back nothing from him. He's done so much for us. And please know that I'm praying for you. And if you're having issues in this area, and we all have to some degree or another, maybe a spirit of anger, maybe things that a judgmental spirit or whatever it may be, besetting sins, God wants to deliver all of us so that we can be fully yielded to him and respond to our head as a member of his body, as is our reasonable service. So, we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can be with us and know that my prayers are with you. I love you, my UCM partners, my radio family. Even if you've never written, I pray for you every day. I know there are many that have listened for years. So if you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, please obey. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.